Our second reading today comes from the Old Testament, from the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 1 through 7. It begins, "Listen to me, coastlands. Pay attention, peoples far away. The Lord called me before my birth, called my name when I was in my mother's womb. He made my mouth like a sharp sword and hid me in the shadow of God's own hand. He made me a sharpened arrow and concealed me in God's quiver, saying to me, 'You are my servant Israel, in whom I show my glory.' But I said, 'I have wearied myself in vain. I have used up my strength for nothing. Nevertheless, the Lord will grant me justice. My reward is with my God.' And now the Lord has decided, the one who formed me from the womb as his servant, to restore Jacob to God so that Israel might return to him. Moreover, I am honored in the Lord's eyes. My God has become my strength. He said, 'It is not enough, since you are my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the survivors of Israel. Hence, I will also appoint you as light to the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. The Lord, Redeemer of Israel and its Holy One, says to one despised, rejected by nations, to the slave of rulers, kings will see and stand up. Commanders will bow down on account of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you.'" Here ends the reading of the Old Testament. Let's take a moment in prayer. Gracious God, we ask you to allow these words to bless our hearts today. Allow the gospel and the Old Testament reading to guide us in the week ahead and to show us what you're teaching us, and allow us to see your words reflecting in our hearts. So be with us as we learn and grow in your faithful love. In your holy name we pray. Amen. I'm going to get a drink of water before I start running my mouth. Tuesday night, Steph and I were driving home from the local watering hole, and I asked her this question: "Have I done all the stages of grief?" She hops on the old Google machine and looks them up, and she reads them off. She goes, "Denial." I say, "Check." "Bargaining." I go, "Check." "Anger." I said, "Oh, yes. Just ask that one lady who I ran into fat biking out on the trail." "Depression." I said, "Oh, yeah. Look at the world." "Acceptance." And I said, that is a tough one. I said, though, "I'm almost done." All this was in a joking manner, because why not display a sense of humor in a moment like that? And then she goes, "Greg, there is no defined timeline." And I said, "Yes, I know. I just want it all to be over, because I'm exhausted and it's only Tuesday." Another conversation was around whether we do the baptism today. And we all agreed that we should. We get to honor one generation on one day and bless another on another day. God is busy. The Spirit is busy. And if they are busy, my mind should be busy too. Because I preach about the importance of being a follower. I preach about the importance of being a disciple. I preach about the importance of showing others the love that we have all been shown. And believe it or not, we even get to read about it today from the reading in Isaiah. And maybe you're asking yourself, who is Isaiah speaking about today? Is there just one person? Is it about Jacob who renamed Israel? Or maybe it's all about Isaiah himself. Then again, is it about the nation of Israel? Is it about God's people called to live as a sign of God's glory at work in the world? Then I asked, does it really matter who or what it's all about? And the answer to that question is this: Yes, it does matter. And I will tell you why. When we wrestle with what the Bible says, it helps us grow. It helps bear fruit. But most of all, it trains our mind to do something, which is this: to think like God. And when we think like God, we can begin hearing the message that God had and still has for all God's people, musing us to this idea that God is speaking about us, calling each one of us into service, calling each one of us to be proclaimers, calling each one of us to carry the light out into the world. Friends, today in Isaiah 49, we are the ones whom Isaiah is speaking about. But Pastor, how is Isaiah speaking about me? This book is old. I wasn't around when it was written. And here's my answer to that. I know how difficult it may be to put ourselves in that place. We feel like our existence is only earthly. We were never named before we were born. And not just that, we aren't equipped. We speak with a mouth like a sword, like a polished arrow from the quiver of God. What Isaiah is explaining, it can't be me. It has to be someone else. And here's what I will tell you. Yes. But actually, no. This is what makes the Bible so great. It is a piece of literature that functions on multiple levels at once. In one place, there are historical references, giving us the ability to discern truth by allowing us to understand the placement of the text, or in other words, how the people during that time implemented the text from the very beginning. But there is also another important factor here. And that is how faith is being referenced. Not just faith in general, but our faith. Because what I read is this: that we are being called to be the servant. We are being called as instruments of God's glory at work in the world. Do you want me to hold him? It's better than a cell phone going off. How many of you know what a Mad Lib is? It's fine. We'll take care of him later. How many of you know what a Mad Lib is? Any of you play Mad Libs riding along in the car? You know, you go buy those little booklets, and then what do you do? What's the part of a Mad Lib, right? You add words in, right? It asks for words like add a noun, add an adjective, all those fancy English terms that we were all taught in school but never really understood what their purpose was. Sorry, Anika. Except for those who taught it, right? I understand. I write a lot. Here's the funny thing. I've never said I should have put a noun there instead of a pronoun. Y'all get my drift. But today, with our reading from Isaiah, what if we played a game of Mad Libs with it? What if I asked you to use a proper noun? And what if that proper noun was your name? What if you inserted your name as we read through the text? And if you take the time this week and do just that, here is what you would notice: that there is a higher calling and a profound blessing. The high calling is found in the certainty that this light is a light to the world, not to single people. You would notice that it's not all about a national promise, but rather one that is universal. Just look at verse 1. Here's what it says. Listen to me, coastlands. Pay attention, peoples far away. This is telling us that we do not have exclusive rights to the proclamation. We do not have the exclusive rights to the call to service. We do not have the exclusive right to the blessing light. And if we read a bit further, we read something in the voice of God telling us this. It is not enough, since you are my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the survivors of Israel. Hence, I will also appoint you as the light to the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. And there it is, to the end of the earth. Somewhere along the Christian journey, something changed. I don't know when, but maybe I do. Where our vision of Christianity turned away from what Jesus was teaching, where what we read or what is read in the Bible has skewered the control rather than justify. Even during Isaiah's time, special preference was denied. But then at the same time, we are given a reminder of a purpose of the chosenness of the people of God from the very first calling. Just think when Jesus sat on the side of the mountain in Matthew, or when he was on the plain in Luke. When he preached, we hear the same thing, that we are called to be a blessing, and because of that, we are blessed. That humility, that love, and because we are children of God, we were chosen before we ever knew. And today we come together as a community we call a church. And because of that, we are given a name. We are given a task to bring light into the world and glory to God. For almost 9 years, I've stood up here in front of you all telling you the importance of being a disciple. And I've also stated many times that discipleship isn't easy. And that is probably one of the reasons that the church actually gave up on it hundreds of years ago. But it was the only thing that worked for Jesus. And it was the only thing that worked for his disciples. And it was hard work. There was failure. There was success. And the reason for that is because we focus too much on self rather than other. We should keep quiet, or we keep quiet when we should speak out. We run our mouths when we should be quiet. Many of us feel like we are not worthy enough to be called a disciple. Here's the truth in all of this, that we are not alone. Let's read what the servant says in Isaiah, verse 4. I have wearied myself in vain. I have used up my strength for nothing. Or in other words, I can't do it. I tried my hardest and it didn't work. I didn't see the results I wanted. I got in the way of my own efforts. Whatever it was, I am not worthy of the call. Do you ever sound like that? Do you ever feel like you are not worthy? Do you ever feel inadequate? Here's the thing. Verse 4 did not end like that. It goes on to say, our doubts, our hesitations, they are not the end of the story. And guess what? They weren't the end of the story for the servant in Isaiah 49. But I said, I have wearied myself in vain. I have used up my strength for nothing. Nevertheless, the Lord will grant me justice. My reward is with my God. Just listen, I am not worthy, but I am called away. The task is beyond me, but I am called away. The vision is bigger than I am, but I am called away. The light is beyond me, but I am called to be a carrier of that light until the ruler shall see and bow before the goodness and the glory of God. And the truth is this, I may never see that day. It may never happen in my lifetime, but I will carry that light anyway. There's this place in Barcelona called the Sagrada Familia Basilica. Ever heard of that? It is said to be almost completed. Sometime in 2026, the last scaffold will come down and the structure will stand in all its amazing glory. It is a masterpiece of architectural wonder and already draws crowds of sightseers from around the world. Many are awestruck by the wondrous play of lights from the immense windows through the building. It was designed by Antoni Gaudi. Construction began in 1882. And Gaudi taking over as chief architect in 1883, it is said that Gaudi knew he would never see the completed structure, but he designed and built it anyway. When asked about this, he said this: "The patron of this project is not in a hurry. Over 100 years they've been building this building." Now think about our lives in faith. Because of God's grace, we are all a part of something bigger. And that something bigger is nothing less than the reconciliation of the whole world to God. It is about bringing forth the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And if we have an opportunity to catch that vision, and we carry the light that shines beyond us and from within us, we all become a part of the light we proclaim. And it all starts today. When we turn our hearts and minds to an induction, one where we are called to help carry that light by showing others and reminding them of what Jesus does for us and what we do for him. Today, we focus on sacrament. Today, we focus on water. Today, we focus on spirit. And the words we read will help us carry that light. Today begins that journey for somebody new through baptism. Amen. As we begin to focus in on the baptism,